How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
How to glorify God in our bodies. Now we know we should glorify God. We know that. But we got a problem with this, and that is because Satan is a destroyer. You need to understand not only the character of this person, Satan, but his mission, his avowed intention. Your adversary, just do that again. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants, most particularly, to destroy Christians. Christians are the target. Is there anybody who doubts that after looking at the news for the last 6 months? That he's getting a lot of help in this society, in this government, in this places around the world. The attack, the focus is on Christianity. It's on Christ. And Jesus put it this way, if they hate me, they will hate you also. Beware when everybody speaks good of you. Jesus warned us. Well, they're not doing much of that these days because Satan's intention, especially, remember, because his hour is short and he hasn't much time left, the scriptures teach that his wrath will be increased in the last days. So he's out to destroy you and he's out to destroy me. And he wants to do it three ways. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill. And this pen's not working right. Let me just. And he wants to destroy you any way he can. Let me try this pen. Ah, this one's the one that works. All right. Now, question is, if you were Satan, if you were the destroyer, how would you achieve your goal of destroying the witness of Christ's followers? How would you go about that? This is, and maybe I should not have put you and I in the picture. I should have probably asked, how do you think he goes about it? If you were Satan and you wanted to destroy the Christian witness, how would you go about it? And there are a couple of things here about this that we need to understand. He cannot destroy you from the inside out. Satan does not have access to your spirit. He does not have access to work on the real you. And this is delightful. And look at the scripture. Year of God, little children, you've overcome them. Watch this. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Who is the he that is in the world? Satan. And there is a power in you that is greater than his power. And unless he could bind the strong man first, he got no access to you. And who is a strong man? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are his. We belong to him. So Satan, if he's going to destroy you, cannot do it by attacking your spirit. He has no access there. In fact, would you believe that Satan doesn't even know what's in your heart? Did you know that? Satan is not omniscient. Listen to the scripture. Thou only knowest the hearts of men, O God. The only one who really knows what's in your heart is God. Now, sometimes God will give someone a discerning of spirits or a word of knowledge, like he did Peter when Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy and sell the ability to lay on hands and people received the Spirit. But only God knows the heart. Now, how do we know it's in the person's heart? Because of what comes out of the mouth, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's how we know. But Satan cannot see what's in your heart, cannot read your thoughts. He is not omniscient. He does not have access. If he's going to destroy you, he cannot do it from the inside out. Secondly, he cannot destroy you mentally and emotionally. He cannot. That is outside of his power. He doesn't know your thoughts. He cannot destroy you mentally. And there are several reasons how we know this is true. And I'm going to come back in a moment, because here's the question. Why do so many Christians have mental problems? Well, they'd like to blame Satan, but the problem is their own faith. Satan comes as a liar. He comes as a deceiver. When you believe him, guess what? You get the mental baggage that goes with belief in him. But he has no power over your mind. Let me show you a couple of verses about this. See, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed that is the Word of God. Now notice this word, it cannot be corrupted. The reason Satan cannot damage your mind, beloved, is because it's full of the Word of God. If your mind is filled with the Word of God, what's he going to do? He can't corrupt the Word in you, because the Word of God is pure. The Word of God is true. Jeremiah says, like a fire in my bones. I'm telling you, the Word of God in you is greater than any idea or thought from anybody else altogether. That's why the Word is so important. That's why we're Word people. We go by the Word. We live the Word. Walk the Word. Talk the Word. Squeeze us. The Word should come out. We should, our communication, husband to wife, parents to children, children to parents, children to children, everybody. We should be talking the Word, talk the Word, talk the Word, talk the Word. You get tired of hearing about the weather. Get tired of asking, how are you, and hearing the pat answers. Hey, let's talk. Hey, what's the Word that have you got in you this week? What did you get today from the Word of God? Because it's this Word in you, this uncorruptible or incorruptible. It cannot be contaminated. It is pure. And as you get the Word in you, Satan has no chance at all to control your mind. Because the Word's in control of your mind. You all follow that?
Yeah.
I tell you, dear beloved, my wife said to me the other evening, she said, when are you going to start the series on the doctrines of the church? And I've thrown around, thought, you know, everybody needs to get a systematic layout of the doctrines of the church, of the kingdom of God, not just a church. And I pondered her thoughts for, you know, a few seconds. And I asked myself a question. I thought, well, where would I begin? And I'll tell you where I would begin. I begin with the doctrine of Scripture. If we don't have the doctrine, nothing else matters, because every other doctrine comes out of what? The Word of God. You see, it's a foundation, the Word of God. So we are born by this incorruptible seed. And look at this Word. This Word of God that's incorruptible, it lives. It's alive. And it abides forever. That's why he cannot destroy you mentally. He must attack from the outside. And that's why that scripture says, greater is he that's within you than he that's out there, he that's in the world. He's outside. So he can't do an inside job on you unless you, of course, yield territory to him, which you don't want to do ever. That's why Scripture says, provide no place for the devil. Don't give him any space at all. Now, he's out there in the world. He's in charge. He's called the God of this world. What's out there in the world? Well, there are three things out there. the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those are the, and this is what Jesus, this is what the Lord said. All that is in the world, all, everything in that world system is summed up with these three statements. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what the world consists of, see? Now, it's that stuff out there. He's out there. If he's going to get you, he's got to come at us. Now, when he comes at us from the outside, there are two areas, at least, that I want to talk to you about tonight of his attack. Number one, let me see if it comes up next on the screen. He attacks us morally, because a moral attack damages our bodies. And what I'm really after tonight is how, see, if Satan wants you destroyed, if Satan can make a preacher fall, or a leader, or any Christian, they not only destroy their bodies, they destroy the witness. That's why our marriages are so important. We can't fail there. All right, now watch this. Flee fornication, because every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. It is herein where Satan attacks us at moral issues and moral levels, and it's the reason why the lust of the flesh is so predominant everywhere you look today in this society, is because, listen to this now, Satan is behind immorality. His intention, listen to me clearly now, his intention is to mass demonize the youth of America. And how does this demonization show itself? Everything, every bit of it points to this one big issue of damaging their bodies through immorality. So, he attacks us morally because that damages our bodies. And then he seeks to damage us with sickness. And I'm going to just elaborate on this for a moment. How do we know that Satan wants you sick? Because Jesus made a provision for us to be well. How do we know that Satan wants you to sin? Because Jesus said he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus wants your sin dealt with. Satan does not want it dealt with. Do you follow that? Okay. Satan wants you to stay in iniquity. Jesus wants to get rid of your iniquity. He was wounded for our transgression, but he was bruised for our iniquities. Satan wants you without peace. Jesus wants you with peace. That's why the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Satan wants you sick and diseased. Jesus wants us healthy and well, and that's why he was with his stripes we are healed. That's why his stripes provide healing. So you know what Satan wants, because it's the opposite of what the four things Jesus provides. He wants you sick. We have, so many of you have such value. It's probably not fitting for me to mention, but just because I need an illustration, I'm going to use Ted and Lynn, because I know they're forgivers, and if I say something, they'll forgive me. These are two very precious people, and they still have miles to go and ministry to do, and they still have damage to do to Satan's kingdom. They have a lot yet to do. If you were Satan, what would you do? Well, you already know they're not going to fall morally. There's no tricks like that. They've been around a long time, walking the straight path. But if Satan can make them sick, if Satan can make you sick, you lose your ability, I lose my ability to fulfill the call of God on my life. So Satan seeks for us to be sick. Now, what is the solution of Satan's attempt to destroy our bodies? And that's what I want to spend just the last few minutes on. What is the solution? If Satan is out to destroy our bodies through immorality and through sickness, then how shall we then deal with this matter? And I believe that the biblical answer that we need is to glorify God in our bodies. If we will glorify God in our bodies, Satan will not be able to damage our bodies. And if he can't damage our bodies, guess what? We are free, empowered, with many things to do for the kingdom of God. He wants to stop. So what does glorifying God in your body have to do with stopping Satan? So I'm going to just take you through a few scriptures. How to glorify God in your body. Number one and number two. I put them all, these two together. We need to recognize God's ownership of our bodies and our stewardship of our bodies. You need to make that the body is not ours, it's His, and we are put in charge of it. This is a starting point. Recognize God's ownership of our bodies and that this body belongs to Him. You didn't make it. You didn't get it from yourself. He not only owns your body, but He owns your spirit. Let's take a look at the scripture. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now watch this. Which body you have of God, and you are not your own. Watch it now. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, who's the owner, which are God's. He's the owner, and they're given to your care and my care. And how you look after the temple of God is how God views us. Him that destroys the temple, what does it say? Him shall God destroy. See? So how you treat your body is vitally important. If we will learn this big secret tonight, of how to glorify God in our bodies, the devil will not be able to make us sick. I'm going to show you how in just a moment. All right, thirdly, you need to keep your body presented to the Lord. It is this Romans 12 passage, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Present your bodies is not something that you do once at an altar, whether the altar is at the front of the church and some pastor gave an invitation, come present your bodies to the Lord, or neither is it something you did in the altar of your home, and I hope your home has an altar in it or a place that's used as an altar. Every room, every home needs an altar. And we bow there. It might be the edge of your bed, I don't know where you kneel. But every home needs an altar. And it could be that there you said, I present my body to you, Lord. And you did Romans 12. Now here's the problem. When you presented your body as a sacrifice to the Lord, the problem is the sacrifice was not dead, didn't stay there, got up and walked away. Present your bodies, what kind of a sacrifice? It's a living sacrifice. See, this is not, you know, not in the Old Testament where they killed the lamb or the goat or the heifer and put it on the altar once and it's dead, it's not going anywhere. Now, we present our bodies, but our bodies are still alive, and we're still using them as properly we ought to. So it is not enough to have presented your body once or twice or 10 times. This living sacrifice, which is our bodies, must be perpetually presented to the Lord. In other words, there should be no 5 minutes in a day when your body is not presented before the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? This is the plain statement of Scripture here. That you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what's interesting here, and I want you to see this now for a later moment, but I want you to notice the next phrase, and be not conformed to the world. And herein is where we have gotten Satan's sicknesses attached to us. Satan can and does afflict directly. But that's not the normal mode of operation. What Satan wants to do is make yourself sick. So out there in the world system, which is full of all that is in the world, is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and that's all that's out there. And watch this now. We're not to be conformed to what's out there, because who's out there? Satan is out there. Greater is he that's within you in the kingdom than he that's in the world. Now watch this, because you're going to see in just a moment how this relates. Keep your body presented to the Lord. And then glorify God by moral cleanness. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And we find that this scripture, and you should read that sixth chapter, a whole bunch of verses here, is talking about immorality. It's talking about fornication. The verse before this is flee fornication. Two verses before that, don't you know that he that's joined to an harlot is one flesh with her? So if you will avoid this lust of the flesh and glorify God by staying morally clean, is part of how to glorify God in your body. And then you glorify God by what you eat. And I'm telling you that Satan is really smart. He's a destroyer. He's destroying peoples everywhere. In America here, our lives were extended, and we are the sickest people in the world today, except for those who small minority group. We have more medical needs than anybody else. And the reason is because we're sick. Now, I'm going to meddle with you, and what I'm going to tell you in the next few moments applies to me. I'm only handing on you something that has become a growing conviction for me. And you judge it yourself. Because remember, the Scripture has one interpretation, but many applications. So I'm going to show you the applications that the Lord has recently, well, in the last 7 weeks, brought me to based on this Scripture. That if I'm going to glorify God, I'm going to have to do it with what I eat. Look at the Scripture. I didn't put the Scripture there. I got the wrong scripture. Well, let me tell you what the scripture is, and it's coming up. The scripture coming up is, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory. I'm supposed to eat for the glory of God. If I will learn to eat for the glory of God, Satan cannot make me sick through what I eat. You follow that? All right. How does what you eat glorify God? When you give credit to a company by your or a statement, you do give credit to a company by your use of their products. when you use a product, you, by your use, give credit to the company and to their product. This is glorifying to them. And in fact, another sentence here, you give credit to a company by your testimony of their products. Man, you should get this from such and such a company. And that's how a company is glorified. Oh, I got the wrong verse in there. I'm almost tempted. Do you understand this is not the verse that should be there? It should be the one, whatsoever you eat or whatsoever drink, do all the glory of God. How do you glorify God in what you eat? So, my wife's really going to yell at me right now. If I eat this, and if I tell you how good it is, who am I glorifying? Hershey's. On the other hand, if I eat this and I tell you how good it is, who gets the glory? You see, the glory goes to the producer, right? And this thing struck me. Because I have known this verse, whatsoever you eat, drink, do all the glory of God. I've known that verse most of my life. But I never thought about how does that apply to me? And so I've concluded for me that, well, let me see. I got something else here that could glorify God. It's a bunch of spinach. Now, there were some people who delivered it and picked it up, but who made it? God. If I am going to glorify God with what I eat, then I better be using His products. I better be boasting about His products. I better be, hey, do you know what's in this? I mean, sit with somebody and pop an orange open and dissect it. And well, I think there's about 7 slices or 8 in there. I don't know how many there are. Show them the glory of God. Show them what the Creator has made. What you eat. I got some cookies up here, some lifesavers here. I'm not sure I need to go far down this road to make you see the point. Have you got it? What you eat either glorifies God or the worldly system from which it was derived. Now this is really, well, I was going to say it's driven me crazy, but the truth is it's driven me away from, remember, all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And this master of the world controls the eating system in America. And remember, let's go back to that verse. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? Next sentence. And be not conformed to the world with how you use your body. So can Satan zap somebody with sickness? Probably. But he's not omnipresent. He's not only not omniscient, he's not omnipresent. But all he's got to do to destroy Christians is get them to do the same things the world does. To be conformed to the eating patterns of the world. And I'm saying today, tonight, for me, and I'm inviting you to join me if you will, is that I had enough of conformity to the world with my food. And I'm choosing rather to eat foods that God made and manufactured. Sure, prepare them. You know, warm them up and mix them. Take God's stuff. Because my use of a product is my endorsement of the producer. Glorify God in your body, to me, means I need to eat the foods created by God and not by man. All right. How many still love the preacher? Let me see your hands. It's 4, 7. Okay. Oh, yeah. How much you eat also is a factor in this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I wasn't going to spend any much time on that, but because it's glorifying God if you eat moderately, and it's not glorifying to God if I don't eat moderately. That simple. I really am disappointed in myself about that scripture. Whatever, therefore, you eat or drink, to all the glory of God. That's the verse should be in there. Let me just go back here now and glorify God by what you drink. Oh, now we got the verse in there. Okay. Whether therefore you eat or drink. Now, I didn't write the Bible. You know that. Holy men long ago spake as they were moved upon by the Spirit. This is the Word of God. Now, what could God mean when he says, glorify me with what you eat? What do you know of an alternative understanding of that? What does it mean when God says, glorify me with what you drink? And if I were to hold up a liquor bottle here, is there anybody who in conscience could say you could glorify God by drinking this? Of course not. Well, what if I held this up? Would you say I was able to glorify God if I drank this? I told you I was going to meddle with you. Don't look so shocked. Am I glorifying God when I drink that? Well, let's review a couple of sentences just one more time. I'm going to come back to that one. If you'll notice, and if you've been around here for a while, we removed the Coke machine that was here. And this is the reason why. We had a Coke machine here for 5 years. And a man in the church came to me on a Sunday morning after service and said, Pastor, I'm embarrassed we have a Coke machine in the church. And I said, why? And he started, you know the guy, right? We have a nickname for him. We call him Jaime. So we call him Jaime Goldberg. It's not his real name. But he loves to be called Jaime Goldberg. So just walk up and say, Jaime, how are you today? And he preached me a sermon and brought facts to me again the next week. And I was convicted of the Lord as the leader of the church of having the Coke machine in there. And that week we took it out. Probably the reason, I don't know, it's going to be the reason why Jaime's still here. I don't know. But that's the reason. You give credit to a company by your use of their products. That's how they're glorified. Man, I just need a Coke. And what is the message? What is the witness? What is the message? You give credit to a company by your testimony of their products. And that's how they're glorified. So let's go back to the Coke. And just learn a couple of facts about it. Because I have come, and I'm not asking you to imitate me whatsoever. I'm here tonight. You can call it meddling. I guess it's meddling. Because I'm really on the application side of the scripture. And I'm kind of confessing to you what's happened to me since I went to the Gothard seminar on the total health. The Total Health Seminar. My mind, my spirit has changed. I became deeply convicted while I was there of improprieties in my eating habits, in my drinking habits, and in my physical body. And I walked away saying, "Whoa, I am not glorifying God in my body. I have not been for long years. And this preacher has got to repent and he's got to change." And when I looked at the scriptures, and this has got to tell you, this scripture about whether you eat or drink really bugs me, because it's getting right down to making the decision that I have to make at least 10 times a day what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink that day. And I have to let the concept of Scripture impact, not only impact me, but influence me to the point that I respond to what I believe the Scripture is saying. And if it says to me that what I'm doing is not glorifying to God, then I have to not do it. I don't have an option. I could plead ignorance before I went to the seminar. You could plead ignorance before tonight. Well, let's take a look at this. Americans drink 43 gallons of soft drinks a year. Soft drinks account for 35% of the sugar consumption in the entire United States. Does anybody here need a lesson on what sugar does? Caffeine contributes to cancer, bone loss, mental disorders, and birth defects. Aspartame, tame, that's used to sugar substitute, breaks down into amino acids. And alanine. I got it right, Doc? There you have it. Aspartic acid. And look at this. Methanol. And methanol, it's the same as wood alcohol, is a known poison. Now, it's true that fruit juices have methanol as well. However, the methanol content of soft drinks is 15 to 100 times higher than fruit juices. In fact, one of the shocks I learned at the Total Health Seminar was to stop drinking juices, including orange juice. It's a remanufacturing of God's design. You want orange juice? Eat the orange. Eat three if you want. Eat four if you want. Good for you. But when we extract, produce another product, homogenize it or pasteurize it, we have altered product. And that's why if you just eat the orange, no methanol. It's a poison. And we're dumping 43 gallons of it into our bodies every year. In addition, phosphoric acid blocks the absorption of calcium and magnesium in the intestines, causing bone loss and osteoporosis in older people. Then you add artificial coloring, flavoring, and preservatives to the beverage. What you end up with is the entire brew is a concoction of chemicals designed to sap our physical and mental health. So suddenly, for me, be not conformed to the world has a new application. It must affect what I drink. How do we glorify God in what we drink? Now, my father always glorified God by exalting water. My father rarely had a soft drink until he was 90 or 85 or whatever it was. He had some Sprites, just backslid. My father used to call it Adam's Ale. From Adam and Eve's ale. This is their choice of beverage. But what is a choice of beverage? Now, come January on Wednesday nights, we're probably going to spend some time, and I'm going to ask Dr. Shirley to look over my shoulder all he wants to. And I'm going to share some of the stuff. Right? I told you that the main doctor that we listened to for at least 14 hours of the week up there was the chief medical officer for NASA, in charge of the astronauts for 11 years. He controlled everything that went into their mouth. No doctor could give them something he didn't approve. They could eat no food he didn't approve. did it for 11 years. I was surrounded with medical professionals who shocked me because of their departure from the world system of chemical treatments. And only in an emergency situation did they have any space for that. Because the need for water is paramount. The proper functioning of all our cells depends on water. Pure water, by the way. And that doesn't mean that the bottled water we get. In fact, I'm in the middle of doing that. I've stopped carrying plastic water bottles and drinking out of plastic cans. You know, the medical damage that happened in Iraq, the medical damage in Iraq to our soldiers, because we shipped tons of bottles of Diet Coke and Coke and all the rest over them. They sat in ships and in storage in 120 degrees temperature. And these guys cool them down for a few moments and pop the top. And it had, the medical impact on our soldiers in Iraq was so devastating just because all of that stuff now heated up next to aluminum and was unexpected, with more sick soldiers than we had wounded in battle. Water needs, the body needs electrolytes. We're going to learn about the electrolyte thing. See, I don't know how important, I don't know much about this. I should have, I guess my wife said I must have skipped health class or something, and it could be true, it was that long ago. But how am I going to glorify God in my body? I'm going to glorify Him by recognizing His ownership and my stewardship, right? I'm going to glorify Him by keeping my body presented minute by minute, every day, no exceptions. I'm going to glorify Him by refusing moral uncleanness. I'm going to glorify Him in my body by watching what I eat, eating that which is glorifying to the Lord, not that which is glorifying to a world product or company that has damaging ability. And I'm going to eat, and I'm going to drink those products, Adam's ale, in order to glorify God with what I drink. Now, lastly, this is whatsoever you do. Notice this. Whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. Now, this last one has so many applications that I wouldn't know where to begin. All behaviors must give glory to God. All conversations must give glory to God. When I answer somebody, the attitude with which I answer must be glorifying to God. If my body is kept presented to the Lord, and everything I do, everything I eat, and everything I drink, and whatsoever I do, also glorifies God. Here's the bottom line. We have found a practical way of making sure that we give no place to the devil. No place to the devil. Because the antidote, if you please, of what Satan has been able to do so that Christians, we Christians are as sick as the world is in America. Because we're conformed to the world. Our presented bodies happen once in a while, but you understand that constant presentation of your body. This is the Lord's. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I don't get to put in it now what I want to. Whether eat or drink, whatever I do with the body, let it glorify God.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.